You're listening to 66.6 FM, Radio TOVH, The Flush.
Woo-ha! You're listening to another fine episode of the Toilet of Hell Radio Show. I am Joe Thrashenkill. With me, I've got my good buddy 365 Days of Horror. How's it going, man?
Woo-ha! Got you all in check.
No Breno side today. He said he was going out for a pack of smokes, and, well, I haven't heard from him since, but we'll do our best.
Did he have a coupon for his cigarettes that he was going out to get?
Yeah, he had a coupon for 50 cents off a pack of Nat Sherman menthols, so you can't pass up an offer like that.
Smooth.
We, I didn't do shit. You, later on in this episode, are going to be interviewing one of the fellas from Ginger. Can you give us just a preview of what we can expect from that?
Yes, I interviewed Eugene, the bassist from Ginger, who happened to be in town playing. They're currently on tour with Devil Driver and Raven Black, but the show they played near me was actually one of these quote-unquote metal fests where they smushed together two separate tours and then threw on like five or six local bands. And of course, it started at noon and tickets were $35 day of show, but it was like Whitechapel, Devil Driver, Chelsea Grin, Oceano, Ginger, Raven Black, like those types of bands. I did not go to the show. My excuse was my band was actually playing somewhere else in town that night.
Good excuse.
Good excuse and a real excuse, so that makes it okay. I would have enjoyed seeing Ginger. I think they're a really up-and-coming band, definitely talented. I think they have some crossover appeal. They're a bit technical. They're a little deathcore, a little bit this and that. And their vocalist, Tatiana, is a very good vocalist, both with the heavy death vocals and with clean singing. So, you know, really wanted to talk to them and kind of see how things were going as a band this was the third time they've ever been to the U.S., so I wanted to talk to them, see how things were going, and also give them Eastern European candy. I was very happy to do that and just kind of see his face light up. He's like, oh yeah, I know these cookies. Oh, I know this. So that was the real reason why I wanted to talk to them.
That's also, where are they from exactly?
Ukraine.
Ah, okay. You didn't tell him the Ukraine was weak, did you?
I did not, but we did actually talk about Crimea.
I don't know anything about Crimea.
Well, you know the basics of Russia essentially annexing a big chunk of the Ukraine.
Yeah. It seems like some people weren't super into that.
Yeah, there's some mixed feelings about that. And we kind of get into it and his concerns and fears about living next to a lot of what's going on over there. But, you know, still not wanting to leave. And I address him like they're not a political band, but I think I got him to open up a little bit and have an interesting discussion.
Yeah. Well, we're looking forward to hearing that. In the meantime, I guess as an appetizer before we get into that interview, we can do our standard thing of us talking about dumb shit. How does that sound?
I love our dumb shit.
Same, man. right before we got on this call, you sent me this thing. From theprp.com, clearinghouse of information. And this was a thing that I had missed, that apparently Tim Lambesis posted to Instagram his Halloween costume, you know, a few days back on Halloween. He chose to be what appears to be a character from The Purge, which... I don't know if we've talked about it on the show or not before. I am a huge fan of The Purge. Those movies are fantastic. I love them.
Your love for The Purge is well known.
So I think that's fun and good, and also a thing that I had considered myself with my lady. The thing is that I am, you know, what is the word for it? Not an attempted murderer, whereas Tim Lambesis is. So the fun irony points are kind of removed from this whole thing.
Pled guilty, went to jail.
Yeah. Trying to think, like, who are some famous wife murderers in history? Like, that'd be going like as King Henry VIII for Halloween.
O.J. Simpson.
Yeah, that's it.
Allegedly. Allegedly.
Can you imagine Tim Lambesis doing blackface O.J. Simpson costume?
It probably crossed his mind. I wouldn't put it past him.
He is a classy dude, you know? So it's possible. This was on top of a post about As I Lay Dying. Apparently he's going on tour. And how's that going for him?
They have already sold out, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 16 dates have already sold out in advance.
Who the fuck are you people going to see As I Lay Dying in 2018? Like, what's wrong with you?
Old, sad metalcore people that are grasping onto the last threads of their life before they have to take their 5 kids to Gymboree class again?
Fuck, I guess. Like, I have bands like that too, but they're better than As I Lay Dying anyway.
I think the only thing that helps understand this is that apparently a lot of the venues are small.
Okay.
So it's easier to sell out. You know, it's not a 1,000-person venue. It's, I don't know, 250 maybe. So yeah, that helps a little bit.
Yeah, I'm looking at their Dallas date here. Is at Trees, which I've been there a number of times. It's not a big club or anything, but you know, it's more than fucking As I Lay Dying deserves to sell out. Come on.
Yeah, then there's real bands touring with them too. Within the Ruins, who I've definitely heard of, and I think we've covered on the website before. They're touring with them. They're cool with it.
Man, like, is everybody that hard up for either a check or 2 hours of entertainment? Like, you have Netflix. there is an unimaginable amount of entertainment out there, metal or otherwise. You don't need this.
Yeah, I guess nostalgia and boredom are two pretty big things, and you know, everyone's feelings and morals are negotiable when it comes to things they like.
I guess, man. It's lame. It's so unbearably lame.
I guess the next thing is to wait and see what happens after this tour. Like, if all of these people are buying tickets and going to see them, if this is just a nostalgia one shot, let's see them and then we're done, or if they tour again a year from now, put out an album for a year from now, and people keep going, people still see them, then that's something else.
Yeah, that's fair. Either way, it doesn't feel great.
No.
It's not cool to see, you know, the guy that tried to hire a cop to murder his wife because she was mad at him for his groupie banging ways and cocaine addiction. Seems pretty fucked up. But hey, what do I know?
Yeah, and we get to see people twist themselves into pretzels trying to explain it away, how he paid his debt to society and he didn't actually murder anyone, and they don't give a Nobel Prize for attempted chemistry.
Yeah. Disappointed because I can't see in his Instagram pictures, I can't see his big flopping titties that we had read about.
Maybe he got a reduction.
Maybe. Also, like, why is he hanging out with a bunch of 19-year-olds? What the fuck, dude? He's like 40.
On brand.
Yeah.
The interesting thing, though, is along with all these dates that are being sold out, Resurrection Fest actually dropped As I Lay Dying following protests.
Hmm. Well, that's something, I guess.
Yeah, that's something. We could use a little bit more of that.
Yeah, I mean, I gotta wonder who put the pressure on him, or maybe, I don't know, is it like an organized group or something? Because that could probably do a lot of difference here. Oh man, like, fuck, I'm going through these Instagram pictures right now. He's with some blonde chick that's dressed as an Indian.
Sure.
Sorry, Native American is what I meant to say, yeah. Cool, very cool stuff. Cool people.
I mean, if you're going to be garbage all the way.
Fuck, yeah. There is something to be said about that. Man, this just puts a terrible stank in my nose.
Well, hopefully it's an oddity and it goes away. You know, I'm trying to think of bands where if this same exact thing happened, where I'd be like, nah, whatever, I'll still go see them, and none are coming up.
Like, I don't know, everybody does, like, all of the musicians from, like, the 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, and 90s have done terrible things. But they're old, so they get a pass. I don't know, man. The closest analogy I can make is like, you know, because it happened at roughly the same time, the Lost Prophets guy. But I don't think he's ever getting out of jail.
No, and the band like completely moved on, and I don't even think they're making music anymore. If he ever were to get out, I don't suspect they would jump on board with him.
Can you imagine though, like let's say 25 years from now, because I think the guy's Euro, right? He's a European.
Yeah, they're Welsh.
Yeah, so they don't have, you know, the sentencing there like we do here, or, you know, you get caught with a joint twice and you get 6 consecutive life sentences. So he might, like, you know, theoretically get out in like 20 years. What would happen if, like, he gets out and immediately, like, reforms Lost Prophets and it sells out, like, just dates all across the world? Like, can you imagine that happening?
I think what he did is a bridge too far for really just about anyone.
Yeah, he thinks. I don't know, man. I don't know. They still play Gary Glitter songs at high school football games.
They do. I think the benefit is people don't know who it is or what he did. It's just the celebration song.
Yeah. Da-na-na-na, fucking kids. Da-na-na. So yeah. There's other tours going up though. Ones that don't involve attempted murderers. What else did you see?
Iron Maiden's going on tour next summer in North America.
Now this is news that I can use. They're going to be coming around to your neck of the woods.
I mean, the closest for all these massive tours, the closest is either like Boston or New York, and they're hitting both. I don't think I'm going to go. Admittedly, I'm not the biggest Iron Maiden fan. It's not that I don't like them. It's not that I wouldn't see them if they were close and it was cheap. It's just, you know, I'm not the biggest fan. That's simple as that. Same with like a Judas Priest. They're super important. Tons of great songs. I just don't need to ever see it again. I've seen them once and, you know, I'm happy I saw them. Same with like Slayer. Saw them once. That's it. I'm good. So when these tours come around, it's like I'm excited for other people because they're so thrilled that their favorite band is coming around again. And I kind of like get this guilty feeling almost. It's like, well, I probably should go because you never know if they're going to come back and they're an important band and this and that. But usually the distance and the price convinces me not to bother.
Yeah, that's fair. I mean, but Bruce did have that cancer scare like a year or two ago. So it's possible that, you know, this could be one of the last ones that comes to your neighborhood, like you said. I got to see Iron Maiden once. They actually came to Austin for the first and probably last time ever. When we built the big F1 track out here, and it was cool because like Megadeth opened up for them, so I got to do two cool ones in one shot. And yeah, man, it is a hell of a spectacle. Iron Maiden puts on a show like really nobody else does. They also sell T-shirts for prices that, you know, would make God blush.
See, I got to see them on Ozfest in like 2005, so it was like Black Sabbath with like the original lineup and Iron Maiden doing like their first three albums. So it was just like, I'm good. I've seen two of the biggest metal bands in the world ever in the same night, one right after the other.
That's a pretty good deal. Looks like they're, I was looking around trying to find who they're bringing on with them. It says special guests, the Raven Age, in some kind of font that screams original Xbox exclusive game. So I don't know. If I go to this one, I'm probably going to show up late.
So I looked up who the Raven Age is. Would you like to know who they are?
Please.
The Raven Age is an English melodic metal band formed in London in 2009 by guitarists Dan Wright and George Harris, who you may know as the son of Iron Maiden bassist Steve Harris.
Oh, get the fuck out of here.
If you might as well, right? If you can, if you're Iron Maiden, just help your kid out.
I guess, man. It's that nepotism shit sucks, though. Like, how many bands would just like literally lop off their dick to open up for Iron Maiden? And you know, it's the bassist kid. It's no Megadeth, that's for sure.
No, and I did see for the California date, they have also announced the opener. Would you like to know who that is?
Please.
Fozzy.
Wow. It does make me feel better that Fozzy has to open up for Steve Harris's kids band.
They get their crisp 15-minute set.
Yeah, yeah. Get off the... Man, like, those big stadium shows, like, the opener is, like, one of the most... Like, it... I know everybody wants to play in a big stadium, but that does not seem like a good job to have, like, when you see, like, three people dotted throughout the stands.
Yeah, it's completely empty, and anyone who's in there doesn't want to see you.
Yep, yep. I don't know, man. Anti-nepotism. It's why I respect Bernie Sanders not endorsing his shitty fail son.
God, can you imagine what dinners are like with that family, though?
You think he's still talking to his dad? Like, he's still probably pretty pissed about this whole thing, right?
I'm going to guess they probably didn't talk too much before.
That's fair. Because, like, his kids, like, I don't know. I don't know for certain. I want to say he's a libertarian, though.
Yeah, I don't want to guess as to what the family structure is, but I'm going to guess there's not a lot of love in that house.
That's fair. So I don't know. Iron Maiden is going to be playing Dallas, Houston, and San Antonio. But I'm just now realizing this is next year, and I might not be in this part of the world anymore then. So we'll see. We'll see.
Are you thinking of somewhere specific that you might like to go to?
I have in mind the place that I want to go. The only thing is, this winter, me and my lady are going to make a couple of trips to a couple of places and see if we like it, in the cold, if we can handle the cold, and see some of these cities. I got a good feeling, man, about, Milwaukee.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Any particular reason?
You know, it was Alice Cooper and, in Wayne's World explaining
Milwaukee.
It means the good land. it's like a full city, you know, it has things, it's right on, you know, one of the largest supplies of fresh water in the world, cause I'm paranoid. If I can buy a house in the city for like half of what, it costs in Austin. So, you know, it's a lower cost of living, better suited for the next decade and beyond, hopefully.
Well, just throwing it out there, Lake Erie, one of the Great Lakes, is horrendously polluted, so.
Yeah, which one is that?
It's near Pennsylvania.
Oh, okay, yeah.
So it'll take a while to get to you.
Yeah, good.
Is there anywhere on your list that's an absolute no, never, absolutely not?
Well, I mean, like, yeah, I'm not going to be moving out to Arizona or, you know, Southern California anytime soon, considering that they're on fire.
They're on fire or expensive or horribly racist.
Yeah, pretty much. It's time to make a move. We were looking at places like Nashville. I really liked the idea of Nashville, but it's honestly, it's too expensive. And if I'm planning on going back to school soon, too, so, like, need somewhere that's cheaper.
Mm. Well, you can start a contest, like, come let Joe stay on your couch while he looks at your city.
Yeah. Show me to all the cool things, and then show me all the things that I need to stay far, far away from.
Yeah, well, it's like MTV used to have, like, the Anthrax Takes Over Your House contest. It could be the same thing.
Oh, yeah, there was an episode of Married with Children.
Yeah.
That Bud won that contest.
Yeah, just do like Joe Raid Your Fridge and, you know, Forgets to Flush contest 2019.
Yeah, it's like living with me.
Joe clogs your sink.
Yeah, well, folks, if you want to tell me in the comments where I ought to move, I am receptive. Bear in mind, I am broke.
Well, I mean, I'd be selfish and just say, come here, we'll be neighbors, but
yeah, I don't know, it's a possibility. There are all kinds of possibility opening up. Just, you know, gotta go somewhere that's a little bit cheaper than here and find a decent school. Those are the big things.
Yeah, well, it's good that you want to move rather than you have to move.
Oh yeah. I mean, I've been in Austin for 14 years.
That's a pretty good time.
Yeah, it's and the city has more than doubled, like since I've in size since I moved here. It's, you know, it's just not meant for this many people, and I'm ready to go ahead and get the fuck out.
It sounds good.
What else? Oh shit, man! You weren't here yesterday. Me and Breno, we got down to the nitty gritty. We had to talk about it. The greatest grifter. I'm gonna say, like, it's early. It's very early in his running, but I think he wins it. The greatest grifter in metal, Threaten. Be Jared Threaten. Vince Neil Steen reported on it a couple of days ago, of course. And I would be shocked if anybody listening to the show isn't already somewhat familiar with it. TLDR, some guy from LA goes and moves heaven and earth to convince people that he's a, you know, legit well-known musician, books a European tour, hires a band, has other bands show up to play with him, and then gets on stage to maybe one person, maybe two people in the audience because no tickets were sold.
Yeah. See, I know you say it's the greatest grift of all time, but doesn't a grift have to, like, get you something in return for it to be a successful grift?
It was so close to being a great grift.
This is the opposite of a great grift. This is chaos. This is hell. This is everything going wrong all at once, and you're in a different country on top of it.
Yeah, and Breno and I joked about it. It's like the underpants gnome thing. Like, it's, you know, step one, buy a huge social media following, conduct this huge elaborate background story to deceive people into thinking that you're an acclaimed musician. Step two, question mark. Step three, profit.
And people want to, some people are saying that, like, it was a great grift because now all these people know his band and now they, like, might go to see him. It's like, yeah, people might look at a car wreck as they're driving by, but they're only looking at it once. They're not coming back again and again and again to see it.
Sure.
And the, like, same thing with this band, that maybe people will see it once, but I don't even think it's going to happen that much.
I think that he's already had three or four nights of this tour happen already that, you know, were a horrific loss. So, like, he paid thousands of dollars to, like, rent the venue. He hired a backline, like, for the shows, I'm assuming at different towns. Has his own backing band. So
two of whom have quit.
Oh, Jesus Christ. So he's got to get some last-minute replacements now. So he's in the can for, I don't know, let's say $15,000 right now.
Thousands of dollars.
Yeah. I've seen on Twitter people were joking, and I honestly believe, like, lots of people will show up to the remaining dates, of course, to look at the, you know, the tire fire.
Yeah.
As you said, though, it's probably not enough to recoup the barrel of money that he's gone and set ablaze, though.
Yeah, it's, you have to have other people pay for this in order for the grift to work.
Yeah.
It's, you're not even getting a free trip out of the thing. So I don't know. I kudos to him for putting in all this extra work.
Let's talk about that extra work, though, because Vince, again, like, he's killing it with this.
Yeah, Vince, round of applause, because amazing job. I am deeply jealous.
And you can tell that he's clearly having the best time as a blogger that he's had in years.
Yeah, this is just a good, fun story for everyone. Like, no one's getting hurt except for this one dumb guy.
Yeah, and, you know, even then, nobody gives a fuck.
Yeah.
Oh no, the show tonight in Belfast has been canceled.
No. Poor Belfastians.
Vince reported on this today. And this is incredible. So he has this fake record label, which Breno and I talked about. It's not super uncommon for people to, like, you know, create their own record label to put out their music. But this was above and beyond because it was a fake record label that he claimed that real bands were on. He also set up a fake booking company that he called Stage Right Bookings, and he created a website for it that is pretty deep. Like there's a lot of like it's not a hack job. This could pass if you weren't like digging for the details yourself. It's got global booking versus like US booking versus Euro booking, tons of fake names in addition to real ones, he created his fake record label too, which he wrote a fake history of, claiming that his fake record label was formed way back in 1964.
I hope all of this was done to impress one girl.
Okay, no one, I can guarantee this, he would have never done any of this stuff if he didn't think he would get laid out of it.
I'll only sleep with you if you tour Europe. All right, I'm doing it.
It's like that 90s Disney movie, Angels in the Outfield.
Mm-hmm. It's like, oh yeah, yeah. I'll only come be your dad if the Angels win the pennant.
It's like, I'll only give you a hand job if you can tour Belfast.
No Belfast, no Handy.
No. So close to that sweet, sweet Handy.
You know what this reminds me of? That conservative conspiracy phony guy that just got in a lot of trouble, Jacob Wohl.
Oh my fucking Christ! Yeah. Because I'm, obviously addicted to this shit. I know who you're talking about, but for the listeners, please explain.
This is a 20-year-old far-right conspiracy theorist who's just been popular with the usual InfoWars assholes on Twitter. Had been throwing around this story to various reporters, saying that they had found women who said that Robert Mueller, who is heading up the Russia collusion investigation against Donald Trump, had like sexually assaulted a few different women. But the story quickly unraveled when these women that supposedly Robert Mueller had done something to had reached out to different reporters saying, this guy's trying to pay me money to make up this story. And it just got progressively weirder and more absurd as reporters kind of pulled the thread on it. And didn't they eventually find out that like all of these websites from his Surefire Intelligence company are like under his mother's name and called her phone number?
He didn't pay the $10 extra to obscure your who is information. So it all goes back to like his mom's address, and any contact numbers go to his mother. So this is very extremely funny. Like everything fell apart immediately. This guy, a real piece of shit though. His dad too. His dad's this weird psychophant that like is living vicariously through his fucking fail son. Or I guess when the father is a failure, like what does it make the child?
I mean, still a fail son.
Yeah, it was a second fail son of a second fail son.
I remember that Iron Maiden song.
It's a great one. Yeah, this kid is also like the only 19-year-old in history to be banned from working in the finance industry.
He's just a giant phony his entire life.
Yeah, he hasn't lived much, and with the small amount of life that he has had, he has just relentlessly shit the bed. So, Jacob, giant fucking moron. No, it's his thing was like, I think he came to prominence because he was one of the guys that always replies to Trump tweets. Like there's a bunch on the left and right that, well, left, yeah. I say, the hashtag resistance,
the middle.
Yeah. That as soon as Trump tweets, like it's a battle between these shitheads to like, see who can reply first, either with a, we love you, we love America, or a, how dare you, sir?
And, yeah, it's people with blue check marks that you've never heard of, but they somehow each have 50,000 followers.
The thing that they all have in common, in addition to like being pathetic, is that they're grifters. Like they're all trying to use it to advance their brand, to like do whatever ridiculous shit they want to do. Like there's that one true fact stated guy who claims that he was like a White House insider. Which actually means that he took a couple of photographs of Obama a few years ago. But anyway, these people are awful. Getting back to Jared Threaten.
I love when people try to say his name and they're like, I don't know if that's his real name. Like, I don't think there's a lot of information about this guy beyond this current scam.
I don't think so either. I'm going to say it the way that that English people say Jared. Jared or Gerard. Yeah, there we go. So yeah, he in addition to his fake record label website, he has, you know, fake Facebook pages for these things that, you know, have tons of bought likes on them. He also, gave himself a whole lot of fake endorsements with real companies. For example, Alternative Press, NME, Hot Topic, and Rockabilia all endorse his record label, which is pretty good.
I would have loved if all of those were misspelled just slightly, like Hot Topic with like a K.
H-A-W-T.
Yeah, Hot Topic.
It's the Boston subsidiary.
NMEE magazine.
But most impressively, it is all fantastic. He created his own fake press outlet, Top Rock Press, which is essentially like, it kind of looks like the NME, and it's all very well designed. What he did is he just chopped and put together pieces from other outlets and made it look like they were, you know, put together by him. Like, he has, you know, featured interviews, featured stories with, you know, big heavyweights in metal. So it looks legit. All of it is very lovingly done. And I just, all for this to end up spending $15,000 to play in front of like one drunk guy in Belfast.
Wouldn't it have been easier just to like fake sign bands? Like, we've heard that grift before. Pay me $5,000, I'll put out your CD. Look at all of these websites. That grift makes sense.
Yeah.
This doesn't.
Clearly this guy has the ability to put together something pretty fucking fantastic in terms of a grift. The thing is that, you know, he's fallen prey to the crime of ego. Like, he wanted to be on the stage, and you can't truly grift when, you know, you're essentially trying to sell yourself as an artist, because the music is just, it's not great. But you can grift other bands that have massive egos and want to be up on the stage. Like, you can't have it all is the thing. You can't have your cake and eat it too. You can either like put together this elaborate scheme that, you know, theoretically you could get people to give you money for, or you can be the guy performing a real life Shreds video on stage. You can't have both.
It's just so much work for nothing.
I would love to have this guy on the show. Jared, if you're out there, please do the show. I have so many questions for you.
I'll talk to him. I'll talk to the guys in the band. I'll talk to the venues. This is amazing.
I mean, I'll talk to all of them, but specifically, I have so many questions for Jared himself. I got to know. I got to know exactly how you thought this would go.
I mean, did he think people were going to show up? That's what I want to know.
Maybe. I don't know.
Because part of this also is he's telling these venues that, like, the advance tickets were sold out, or we sold 200 and the place holds 200. So even if that was, you know, he's telling these people this, wouldn't the venues then just say the show is sold out, so it cuts off the possibility of a couple of people showing up? Help me.
I don't know, and I want to know. I especially want to know how long he's... When did he come up with this idea of going through all the... Because this goes back years. Years ago, he started setting up these fake outlets.
He would have gotten away with it, too, if it wasn't for those meddling kids.
The meddling kids at Metal Sucks.
The metal-sucking kids. Wait, that doesn't sound right.
Yeah, that's... It's more of a Lost Prophets thing. shit, man. I don't know what to make of it, but... Maybe we ought to just ponder this as we go off and right out to your interview with Ginger.
Yeah, let's do it. Let's get into our interview with Eugene from Ginger.
You are listening to the Toilet of Hell radio show. I have a very special guest with me today. Right now we have Eugene from Ginger. How's it going?
Hi, guys. I'm fine, just fine. Just played an awesome show. And, relaxing time and the bandwagon. So why not to give a good interview?
Yeah, I appreciate it. So you've been on this tour with Devil Driver and Raven Black for a little while now. How's it been going?
It has been going very, very well. Yeah, I cannot pick any shows when I felt unsatisfied or bad. Every time I go off stage, I am, feeling like really on top, because the crowds are very, very good everywhere, and the energetics is just awesome. So everything is going very well, as I said.
And this is your second time in the U.S. You were here
It is our third time. Yes.
So you were here not that long ago with Cradle of Filth.
We were with Cradle of Filth's first time here.
Okay.
Then in the summer we came for a short run.
Okay.
Mainly because of Heavy Montreal Festival in Canada. But we played headlining shows here in the east of the United States. By the way, we played the same venue in the summer.
Yeah, I remember that.
So this is our third time, right?
So have you been able to kind of explore the United States a little bit more and see some things you didn't get to see?
Well, so far, yeah. Especially on this tour, somehow it happened that we managed to see finally the Grand Canyon, and we were absolutely excited about it. Probably the most beautiful place I've ever seen. We were at Niagara Falls. Mm-hmm. Wonderful. Just really impressed me. We were in the prairies in Oklahoma, watched buffalo, mm-hmm. right in the wildlife, and we had a bit of time off in New York, checking out the Statue of Liberty and Brooklyn Bridge, and such sites. So yeah, so far whenever we have time, mm-hmm. we go and see something.
Yeah, you've seen more of the country than I have, and I live here.
Well, but you've got a big country, so that's why it's not surprising that quite a lot of people haven't seen this or that here.
Is there something that you haven't seen yet that you still want to check out?
Well, I'm looking forward to seeing Chicago finally, because last time we were with Cradle of Filth, we didn't play Chicago, we played in Juliet, so and we couldn't really, we didn't have any chance to see the city, and I'm looking forward to seeing it finally. We'll have a day off either inside San Diego or LA after we finish the tour before we go into Mexico. So definitely I would love to go and see one of these two places. In Denver, I would really love to see my friends who live in Denver, because last time I was ill and I didn't really have any chance to, really spend some time with them. And on the way from Denver to West Coast, if I'm not mistaken, we'll make our way through the mountains. Mm-hmm. Would really love to see the sceneries. Well, and if anything else comes into my mind. So far, these are things which, really in the bucket list, I would say.
In Chicago, there's a few restaurants called Kuma's Corner. They do burgers, beer, but all of the burgers are named after heavy metal bands. There's an Iron Maiden burger, there's a Slayer burger. If they ever made a Ginger burger, what would you want on it?
Well, definitely, if we are talking about my tastes, I would say that for sure I will only make it rare.
Okay.
Tomatoes, mushrooms.
Okay.
You see, I
cheese
for sure. Cheese, yeah. A lot of cheese, tomato, mushrooms, and the bread should be a little bit sweet.
Okay.
Yeah.
A little sweet bread, all right.
Yeah.
If you go there, you could just be like, I'm in this heavy metal band. Name a burger.
I don't think we're big enough, to make them do something for us. But who knows? Future is bright and open.
Yeah, you guys have been doing really well. So you previously toured with Cradle of Filth. You're currently touring with Devil Driver. You're going to be touring with Soilwork and Amorphis.
In Europe, so, right, in Europe. Yeah.
Do you like touring with bands that you don't really sound like? Because you're reaching a different audience with all of these tours that may not be used to kind of your technical sound.
I don't think we have any problems playing for different audiences, mm-hmm. because the music of Ginger is very, very diverse. And it's just a matter of how open-minded people are in the pit. And most of the times, we feel quite okay. We just, people really fall in love with our music once they hear us. Yeah, and how I feel personally about all these tours, Of course, I enjoy it a lot. But honestly, by this time, I'm getting a little bit tired of supporters and supporting the other bands, even though we're going to have one more in Europe with Soilwork and Amorphis. So I believe it's time for us to start touring on our own, headlining. Because I think we've already built some foundation, fan bases everywhere, so I think it's time to start touring on our own.
Well, you're already doing a lot of touring. You're doing this tour, you're going to South America.
That's
then
right.
You're going to Europe with Soilwork, then you're going to Japan.
Yes.
Do you remember what your home looks like?
Yeah. I'm a bit homesick, to be honest. Yeah, and it's the biggest problem I have at the moment. The biggest problem of my life is that I cannot spend enough time with my family and my kid. But I try to call them any moment I have. Well, this is a sort of a bitter pill I have to take. That's the thing, yeah. But on the other hand, once I get home, so I really appreciate and value this, being home. And try to, you know, spend every single second worthy, if I can say so, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So how do you stay entertained with all this touring? Do you read a lot? Do you watch a lot of movies? Just look out the window?
We watch some movies. I do not read, really. I read, well, no books anymore. I don't know, stopped doing this quite, you know, a few years ago. I read a lot of, you know, scientific articles, something on the internet, just some news, really into science. I love to, you know, catch up with the recent news and recent discoveries and things like that. I read musical news a lot, just watch out of the window because the sceneries are very, very picturesque here, yeah. So, and used to play some computer games on the tour. I haven't taken my laptop with me, but we've got a PS4 with us, so I'm gonna plug it and play. I'm really into video games, so would love to. It will be okay, really fun, lots of fun for me to play some video games on the tour.
So what type of science do you like? Earth science, astronomy?
Astronomy, cosmology, all spheres of science. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it entertains me a lot to, you know, catch up with these new discoveries, innovations, yeah, and things like that.
Yeah, we're always learning more about our world, so it's exciting to be kind of a part of all of these.
Absolutely,
big
things. This is how I feel about that. Yeah.
So you have the micro EP coming out.
That's right.
I guess what was the impetus to just do an EP? Is it just all you had time for, or just you wanted to do this now and then worry about a full
length
later?
We were planning to make an album this fall. But we were planning to stay home and make it, be making it. But because we had sort of success, we had to, you know, shift plans a little bit, postpone a full-length album. But on the other hand, we couldn't play anymore old songs. We got tired of. So we just decided to make something new. And at the same time, you know, have time for touring, and EP was a perfect solution. 5 new tracks, which of course, you know, fuel us up as musicians, and we love playing them live now. And at the same time, so we have quite a lot of, you know, free dates to tour. That was the idea. Yeah.
So what's the writing process like for a band such as yourself that does have sort of these technical parts combined with clean vocals and harsh vocals? Do you all come together and write together? Or do you bring different parts and see what works?
It happens differently. On this EP, just different people compose different songs. And on some songs, the other members, like I have a song I composed mostly myself, but Vlad helped me with a few parts. Yeah, Vlad composed the song himself, and mine and Roman's part in it was just, you know, writing our own lines, bass lines, for example, for this. Yeah, and Roman composed a song himself completely, and another song Vlad helped him with a little part in it. Yeah, and of course, on top of this, I make my own bass lines in these songs, and Roman made his guitar lines in my song. So it's like working all together and at the same time working independently from the others, and then melting it into one solid piece of music. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I've heard the latest single is Ape.
Yeah.
And I guess, how does it compare to like Pisces or I Speak Astronomy? Like, is it a continuation of those songs? I know, like, lyrically, it's sort of, like, romantic, sort of love-related.
Ape isn't that.
Isn't that?
Isn't that at all. Okay. Ape is an angry song.
Okay.
And Pisces and I Speak Astronomy are sort of... I Speak Astronomy is actually a love song. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but Ape is absolutely different. Okay. It's a song of full of anger and full of frustration, I think. So... it's not lyrical, it's not definitely the continuation, but musically this is definitely the direction we have chosen with I Speak Astronomy and Pisces, like progressive music and making it more and more diverse and complex, but at the same time remain to be musical, because a lot of technical bands, they just start making very, very complex and complicated stuff and lose their musical element.
Yeah, I mean, you could hear there's still a song.
Yes, even though it's still music and not just a chain of notes.
Right. So that makes sense. Like, can we expect more of that with the rest of the EP?
Yeah, but because each of us brought their own contribution into composing on this EP, it's going to be slight, you know, from one song to another, it's going to be different. All songs are different. And there is a certain concept for the whole EP. It is progressive, but in a different way. Each song is going to be different in their own way.
So a lot of our listeners are interested in gear. What kind of gear are you using right now?
Me and Roman are using Line 6 Helix. He plays the OD guitars from Israel. I play SP Stas Pocatillo bass guitar for 5 years now. He's a luthier from Kyiv, makes wonderful basses. So basically him and I, Roman and I, we are playing custom shop guitars. Yeah, Vlad plays Stama and Zildjian cymbals. That's basically it. Mm-hmm. Tatiana sings Sennheiser mics.
And when did you learn how to play bass? When you were younger?
No, I started very, very late. Okay. I first grabbed bass when I was 18.
Okay.
Yeah, just
natural, picked it up and felt right?
Well, yeah, I picked it up and, felt right and fell in love with it. And little by little learned to play.
So I know Ginger's not a political band, but I guess what's been going on in Ukraine for a while, specifically Crimea, just in the United States, kind of seeing what's happened over the past few years, I don't know if you can give some perspective as someone from that country, if it's...
I don't see any...
I know it's a heavy question.
Let me find the word. There is no solution to the problem of Crimea. Mm-hmm. No solution at all. It now... Well, it's a matter of fact. It is part of Russia now. And there is only one thing to talk about who's guilty of that. who let things happen like that? And this question is still open. Yeah. But what terrifies me most and concerns me a lot is if you know that we come from the east of Ukraine, mm-hmm. we come from the Donetsk region, which is now an area of military conflict. Mm-hmm. And this thing, which I cannot really, which doesn't let me, you know, stay calm and stay, find peace of mind, because this is a place where my parents still live, and all our parents live there, and there is war there. And something should be done on this, yeah, on both, on all the sides, yeah, Russian, Ukrainian, their relations in between, like, and America and Europe, mm-hmm. as somebody who stands aside, but at the same time greatly involved into, because of geopolitical issues.
Right.
So, and politicians just play their own game, but average people suffer. This is the thing. Yeah.
Do you think there's going to be a solution at some point?
There should be. There should be. But so far, no one, absolutely no one, none of the sides has ever tried to calm it down and put it off. No. It's just everyone is trying to, you know, get their political, reach their political and geopolitical targets, and that's it. But nobody cares about people.
With this ongoing strife with no end in sight, would you consider leaving Ukraine?
No, I'm not considering moving to another country at the moment. Even though there are some reasons which even may push us to do that. But I feel quite okay. At the moment I live in Kyiv. Mm-hmm. My family is there, so even though we are going through a huge political and economical crisis, it's my country. I live there, and I like living there. I cannot say that I am absolutely happy about everything going on. No, there are a lot of things which piss me off inside the country, but generally it's okay.
How does the metal scene in Ukraine compare to at least United States?
Oh, it's very amateur. Yeah. This scene is amateur. Right. There are no venues, not enough people, actually metalheads, who listen to you. So that's why it's very, very difficult for a band to survive inside the country. Yeah. But on the other hand, we've got wonderful bands, super awesome bands, who can kick ass everywhere they go. It's a problem to go and play, and not everybody is ready to do that. Mm-hmm. But I hope that many more bands, not only Ginger, will break through out of there.
So who are a couple bands so people can check them out?
Check out Synoptic, Space of Variations, Valley Han, who else? These three are very cool.
So there is a scene and people should go and look into it.
Yes, exactly.
So before I go, I made a little trip to a European market not far from here, and I got some snacks for you and the band. If you'd like to take a look and see if they are up to your standards. Get this.
Ah, it's Zephyr. Wonderful.
So you know what that is?
Yes, of course. Yeah. Oh, man, it's great. Like almost like being, you know, home.
That's kind of why I got these things.
Yeah.
So you're going to be away a while. And
oh, wonderful. Thank you very much. Thank you.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
I got more.
Yeah, give us everything.
Yeah.
We'll eat it all. Yeah, thank you.
Some candy. I think I got a couple more little cookies.
Okay, wonderful.
So that and some kvass.
Kvass. Cool.
So
thank you.
There you go. Thought a little bit of home for you.
You're listening to 66.6 FM, Radio TOVH, The Flush.